everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Moin, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by Scott Christie, father of two, to talk about his experience at the European School of Mammer in the English section specifically. We talk about what he likes about the school and what he dislikes about the school, but honestly, I have to say this was the most surprising interview of all of the parents I have interviewed so far for all of the English-speaking options here in Luxembourg. We even talk about how the school handled an active shooter threat. You're definitely going to want to stick around to hear this. It's at the end. Spoiler alert. I do hope you find this episode helpful, and as always, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me via email at momlife@rtltoday.lu, or you can find me on social media at momlife in Luxembourg. Merci Filmus, and enjoy the show. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Haley. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So today we're going to talk about your experiences at the European School in Mammer, but the English section.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Before we jump in as much detail as you feel comfortable sharing in 5 minutes or less, tell me your Luxembourg story. Why are you here? How long have you been here? How's it going?
Yeah, so I'm originally from New Zealand, but I met a Finnish woman and we spent a few years in Australia and then we moved to Finland to come back to Europe and we had children in Australia. They started school in Australia and then they carried on in primary school in Finland and then we moved here for my wife's work. Been in Luxembourg about 3 years now and I'm the stay-at-home dad.
Okay. And your children, you said, were born in Australia?
That's right, yeah.
And so obviously they went to the English section instead of the Finnish section.
We looked into the Finnish section, but yes, being I don't speak any Finnish or very limited, and we feel, like many parents, that English is perhaps a more useful language than Finnish. So we looked into the Finnish section, but we chose the English section for them. They're native English speakers. They could have gone Finnish, could have gone English, but we chose the English for them.
And now we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Lisa Burke, and I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome you to The Lisa Burke Show, your go-to place for eclectic conversations that really matter, the kind that make you think, feel, and hopefully leave you a little bit more inspired. Every week, I'll be chatting with some truly incredible guests, experts, everyday heroes, and maybe even sharing a little of what's going on in my own life. I'm all about finding stories that move me, unpacking everything from the latest trends to the deeper human issues that shape how we connect and live. So grab your coffee, get comfy, or take your dog for a walk and hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And don't forget you can watch the full episodes on RTL Play and listen every week on Today Radio, The Lisa Burke Show, where we explore life in Luxembourg and beyond.
If you're enjoying Mom Life, you might also enjoy Today Radio's Office Hours with me, Adam Peterson. It is the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. We have many mom-friendly topics on the show. The merits of hybrid working, how to choose a gym, and how performance is managed in different industries. In the same way dads are welcome on Mom Life, you don't have to work in an office to enjoy Office Hours. Get Office Hours wherever you get your episodes of Mom Life.
I think you mentioned your kids have been at the European School for 3 years now.
That's right, yeah.
So you have experience in primary and secondary?
Yes, and of course two other jurisdictions as well to compare. So Australia, they start school quite early, and in Finland they start school quite late, but the kids went to school in Australia and Finland and now here in Luxembourg in the European School.
Okay, great. So you have a very broad perspective of sampling schools around the world.
Yeah.
So how is the European School of Mammer English section shaping up?
Yeah. Look, it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. I can't be completely complimentary about it. There are, I think, issues with the school. But on the other hand, there are very good things as well. When I first arrived, I heard about this European baccalaureate. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's what they teach at the secondary at the school.
So let's talk about that for a second. What does that entail?
Originally, when I first heard about it, I thought, these European bureaucrats have come up with a new education system that's unique just for their children, and it gives them a way to propagate and breed a new generation of European bureaucrats.
So funny.
And so I was a little bit anti at first. And then I realized, well, their alternative would probably be the IB, the International Baccalaureate. But the IB is run out of Switzerland. So it wouldn't be a terribly good look for Europe to base its curriculum and learning on an institution that's run in Switzerland. So I can see that politically that would be difficult. But also now, having got more hands-on with it, I did the IB myself. I was at a French boarding school way back when, and I did the IB. It's very good. I like it. I appreciate it. But I honestly think this European baccalaureate is actually slightly better.
Wow. Can you tell me the differences?
Not massively. Of course, my IB experience is pretty old now. So what I did in the IB has probably changed a lot since then. But I would say with the European baccalaureate, it's pretty much fundamentally impossible to get through unless you're bilingual. Whereas in the IB, by choosing your subjects and depending on the school you're at, it is possible. You can have just pure English kids getting through and getting a very good baccalaureate in IB with no other language skills at all. Whereas this European baccalaureate, I think that's fundamentally impossible. They've basically discovered a way to intermingle the subject so tightly that it's impossible, and that your child will be bilingual in whichever languages they go for. Yes, bilingual. Yeah,
you really have to be fluent in your L2, whereas the IB, you maybe can get away with it. Yeah. That's cool. That's good to know for my own kids who I don't know if they're going to end up fluent in another language or not. We'll see.
Yeah, the way they accomplish that is by teaching subjects that are core to the curriculum, such as history or science, and they teach that in L2.
Okay, yes, understood. So you feel great that they're pursuing the European baccalaureate?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's certainly one of the best educations out there. And then sticking on that theme, so I'm appreciating the curriculum, not just the bilingual aspects of it, because I do sometimes think that Europe places too much emphasis on learning languages, but it's easy for me to say that. I'm an English speaker. But the curriculum's really good. And for example, my one child is able to take Latin, which I thought was a left field choice, but I love that academic slant is able to be catered for in their curriculum.
Is that going to be the L2 Latin?
No, she does French as L2, and then she does an L3 in Italian, and then she also takes Latin as a side.
Wow. Yeah. What a linguist.
I don't think so. I think it's just the default, really.
Okay. Yeah. So that's very cool. What about the teachers? Are the teachers good? Because you would imagine if they've got European Union contracts, they're probably quite cush.
The teachers are honestly, they're one of the best things about the school. Absolutely no negative things about the teachers. All of the teachers that I've met with personally have been competent, experienced. All of their feedback on my children has been accurate. One of my children maybe wasn't doing quite so well. It was identified early. She was given support. And it was very cleanly and easily dealt with.
When you say that one of your children wasn't doing so well, is that like a learning disability or learning difference, or just had fallen behind for whatever reason?
I thought it might have been a learning disability, but we investigated that and it turned out not to be. She was just falling behind a little bit. Maybe it was the changing of schools, too many different schools, too many different approaches, too many different methods. But as I said, the teacher identified it. She went into what they call a support class, which is 1 or 2 hours per week. The school has a very clear path for support. They have level 1 support, level 2 support, and level 3 support, and it depends on your needs. And she was in level 1, I think, which is the lowest level, which is 1 or 2 hours extra per week.
Okay, it's like a pull-out special time or whatever.
Yeah, it's not one-on-one. It's a smaller class with 4 or 5 kids who are in the bottom tier for that subject, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Can you speak to how they might be able to accommodate a child with a learning disability or a learning difference?
Other than the knowledge that these tiers exist, so I think level 1 is the one I mentioned, and then there's a second level, which I think is more hands-on, one-on-one teaching, and then a third level is, I'm not even sure what that entails, but there is definitely a structure and a format to accommodate kids who really struggle.
It sounds like you love the curriculum.
Yep.
You love the teachers.
Teachers are very good.
And when your child fell behind academically, they spotted it and gave support.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Anything else you love before you want to get to the not loves?
No, I think that's about it on the loves front. Yeah. So academically, very happy with the school. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, are we ready for the not so great
stuff? I'm ready. But so far, it sounds pretty good. Oh, what about facilities? The campus itself.
This is in the not-so-greats.
Okay.
They have a brand spanking new campus.
That sounds great.
It's really nice out in Mama. But it is built for purpose, but there's a lot of concrete. There's not much shade in the summer. And there's nowhere for the kids to play. Wherever there was a chance to have a bit of green, instead they chose concrete.
Ah, that's too bad.
And it was just like, oh, really? Like, the school itself was a little bit monolithic. And then to fill the play areas with concrete as well was just a missed opportunity.
I was going to ask about how massive it is, because I have a tiny bit of experience at the European school in Kirchberg, English section. Did not work for us at all. And one of the things was that it was just massive. Is it also massive?
It is massive. It is massive. They have a large primary section and a large secondary section. I can't say my children get lost. I don't know that if children get lost in it, but physically it's big, but also the number of pupils is large. Yeah. But there are schools. I went to large schools and I went to small schools, and I know that they can both work. Where the school really falls down, I feel, is the administration. So the administration are the ones who handle all the communications with the parents, all the scheduling of the classes, all of the administration of the school. And I think this particular administration, it feels like you're dealing with a European institution.
And what does that mean for the lowly American that doesn't know?
It's an absolute monolith, right? You've got no personal contact with them. It's always a mailbox. You send it to a mailbox. You don't know. You've never meet these people face to face.
Wow.
They either won't phone you or they won't pick up the phone. And at every opportunity, if you request anything, the first response is always no, because it doesn't fit in their guidelines.
Wow. How does that work? Is there a sitting principal and vice principal and secretary that are at the school?
Yes, like absolutely.
So you know those people, but you just aren't allowed to talk to those people?
No, I don't know them at all. No, I get an S1 mailbox, which is...
That's the whole grade?
That's the whole grade for S1.
Wow.
And that's the secretariat. So if I have any questions, I don't have a person I can go to. I have a mailbox, like a generic Outlook mailbox, right? And it's usually answered by the same person or one of two people or one of three people, but there's no personal contact with an individual.
And how are you supposed to build a relationship with a mailbox? How does that make you feel as a parent when you're emailing kind of into the ether?
No, it feels like you're dealing with a European institution. It's an absolute, it's like a bureaucracy, right? And you never get to meet these people face to face. I've got no idea where they sit in the school. We've never been invited to meet them. Some of them do a good job. Some of them not so fond of.
Wow.
But it's like you're dealing with the government. So it's a faceless bureaucracy, which I personally really detest. Yeah.
And there's no opportunities to meet the administration throughout the whole school year?
No, none.
Incredible.
None. Yeah.
But you do meet the teachers, so you can develop a relationship with your child's teacher?
Very limited. Very limited. It's almost like the school deliberately stops us from meeting the teachers. So the school has very tight security. Having been in schools with no security, like in Australia, I would rock up, I would have a chat with the teacher when I picked my kid up from school. In Finland, it was the same. In here, there's very tight security. So no one comes on the campus. They've got security guards on all the gates, and no one comes on unless you've got an appointment.
I have a question about that. Why is the security so tight? Are these like European diplomats at a security risk? Like someone who wants to blow up their kids or what?
I don't know. I don't know. I think... It's possibly a policy gone too far that someone in Brussels has thought, because the schools are not necessarily run from here. The schools are run, these European schools are driven a lot by the head office in Brussels.
Okay.
And so someone in Brussels has said, we can't possibly afford any security risk, so we're going to implement this sign-in, sign-out policy. So as a parent, you cannot walk into the school and talk to your child's teacher.
So if Johnny forgot their homework, what do you do?
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing. I beg your pardon. No, you can email the teacher. Oh, but you mean in the school?
Yeah. Let's say, I was going to say they forgot their lunchbox or their gym kit or something that you need to go drop something off because it's now 9:30 in the morning and you've looked and realized they've forgotten something. What do you do? Just ring the doorbell?
I've never even attempted it, but you would go up to the security guard and you would say, okay, security guard, he's forgotten his lunchbox, and can you give it to him?
Okay.
You would not be allowed in the school to go and give it to him yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, and when you asked about the security thing, maybe there are high-profile kids in there who do need a a higher degree of security. At times it feels burdensome. For example, I went to they had an all-round parent-teacher meeting, right? Like one of these kick-off-the-year kind of things. And you have to subscribe. So you have to tick off your name on a list, and then the security guard has a name on the list. And my wife had been the one who subscribed, so she got the responding email. And then I arrive and they say, can you please show us the email to show that you received the response email?
Mm.
I was like, I don't have it. But you can see there, that's our name on the list. No, you've got to show me the response email. And I said, seriously, you've got 300 parents coming in. There's my name on the list. Are you not going to let me in? No, you don't have the response email.
Wow.
So I then had to phone my wife, who was in a meeting. I said, please, can you send me the response email? She forwarded me the response email, showed it to the security guy, and he lets me in. But then, of course, the meeting was halfway finished, right? The school meeting was, because it was only a half an hour thing with the principal. So it was like, so.
I see.
It's like airport level security
for, an elementary school.
For an elementary school, yeah. So I'm not one to judge, but it can be frustrating.
One thing I always caution about these interviews is this is just, you're just one parent, right? So your experience might be different, but can I ask, do other parents also feel frustrated as far as you know with the administration? Is there a parent, like in America, it's called the PTA, the parent teacher group. At ISL, it's called the PCG. Is there a parent volunteer organization that's designed to work with this bureaucracy at all?
Yeah, look, we have a very active parent teacher association, or not the parent teacher, they call it the APEEEL, which is the Association de Parents of the European.
Something in French, okay.
Yeah. And they're very active. And again, sorry, this is another failing of the school. The school organises no extracurricular activities. Nothing. Zero. Nothing.
Really?
I think once they ran a choir or something like that.
But Kirchberg has lots of after-school activities.
Lucky Kirchberg. But instead, what happens is the parent, this falls on this APELL association, and they organize a lot of activities, many of which happen on school grounds.
Oh, it yeah. could be that is how Kirchberg has their after school activities, and I just didn't get that far.
And I've really valued what the Parent Teacher Association is doing. But again, I feel at least some activities should be offered by the school. I don't know, swimming club or football team or something like that, you know, like.
So do they have competitive sports teams at the European school?
Not at my kids' level, or they've never been invited to join them, or I haven't been notified about them. So maybe at more senior levels they do, but
well, your kids are, you mentioned 13, so that's probably not like varsity. Sorry to bring the American analogies, but that would be wild to think that a high school experience, if you wanted to play sports, I guess you just have to play club?
Yes, exactly. So they do have sports during school hours, the normal sort of...
But that's PE.
PE, yeah. But if you want to be in the basketball team, no one's ever said, does your child want to join the basketball team? Or there's this parent-teacher association who runs sports and various sports, which my kids don't go to because it's not sports they want to. But it's not run by the school. It's run by the parents.
So is there an opportunity for a kid who goes to the European school, Mammer, to join, whether it's the parent group, parent APEEL thing, or through the school itself, like a competitive basketball team, swim team, where they play against other schools in the area or Europe, or whatever.
There is, but it's all, yes, there is, through this APEEL situation.
Okay. Yeah. And does that cost extra? Because you're tier one, so you're free.
Yeah. It does cost extra, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But so it's probably really cheap.
Well, again, so because these things happen on school premises, they say your child is not allowed to be unattended on school premises while they wait for the, so let's say your child finishes school at 2 o'clock, and the school activity, the sports activity or whatever activity doesn't start till 4 o'clock. So there's like a 2 hour gap there, right?
You're supposed to schlep over there and sit there for 2 hours?
Or the child's supposed to leave, or they have a paid sort of supervision service.
Okay.
Again, run by the Parents Association.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's reasonable, I suppose.
It works, but it's not the way it's been done at other schools that I've been to. And it's, in my opinion, it's inferior.
What would you like to see happen?
I would like to see the school run things, like you said, like a basketball team, a music class. I think a lot of these activities are in a huge crossover with skills that are already in the school. So if you're running an art class, why isn't an art teacher taking it? Why is it being outsourced to a parent or a professional who has to come in and the parents have to pay for it? Why not include that as part of the school offering, if you like?
Fair point.
Yeah.
And is there any drive, as far as you can tell from the administration, to become more consumer, customer-centric?
No, zero. So the school administration functions primarily for their own benefit, as far as I can see. They have no interest in listening or dealing with the parents.
If you weren't tier one and your wife didn't work for one of the European institutions, mm-hmm. would you send your kids there?
Good question. No, I don't think I would. I would give the school a six out of 10, or maybe 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
And if you know this NPS score, this Net Promoter Score.
No.
So in marketing or something, if you ask someone to recommend a business, then if they give it a 7, 8, or 9, that's considered a actual recommendation that you should use it. If they fill out the questionnaire, that's good. And that's, if it's anything below a 7, then essentially they've failed. So it's so in my mind, it's not that the school admin doesn't rub me up so much that I have to pull my kids out. However, I'm not able to actually recommend it to you. So if you were a new parent coming in, and as you said, if you're not tier one and you had to pay for the school, I would say, well, honestly, I would look elsewhere.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's amazing feedback for everyone who is not tier one. What about the other parents? What about the parent community outside of the APEEL? How do you find the parents? It seems like a lot of your wife's coworkers probably are there. So talk to me about the parent community itself.
Look, we made the choice to live in central Luxembourg, and the school is way out in Marma. So partly that's our own fault, is that we don't live near everybody at the school.
Do they have a bus? Are you driving out to Marma every day?
No, we put our kids on the public bus.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, there's 101 buses. It's not a problem from a commute perspective, and it's not on the school. Though it's purely on us. But it does mean that we are slightly distanced from the parent network, if you like.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your children's friendships?
I mean, they're very strong. But
13 is a hard year, regardless. Probably.
Yeah. Again, I think maybe if we'd made the decision to live in Marma rather than in the centre, mm-hmm. they would be benefiting from that, because then they could just drop around their friend's house after school, or in these periods that I mentioned where the school says, well, we're done with them, they've finished classes for the day, but they have to wait until 5 o'clock to do their fencing lesson or whatever, then they could just pop home, right?
Yeah.
Whereas when we live in the centre, but that, again, that's on us, but I think in retrospect, I think we would have chosen to live closer to the school and make my wife commute. Rather than the kids commuting from the centre outwards. I think in retrospect, that would have been perhaps a better choice.
Hindsight's 20/20. It's very difficult. Yeah. I moved my kids, and every single one of my kids, I picked the wrong choice out of the gates. Whoops, I did my best. That's part of the reason why I wanted to do these interviews, is because I screwed up so royally on every single one of them. So is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Look, so the school admin, I mentioned it. I can give more specific examples. 3 years ago, or 2 years ago in 2023, there was a shooting threat at the school.
Wow.
We discovered it through the parent network, because we're all on WhatsApp chat, right? And it's very active. The parents are very active on the WhatsApp, and I love that about the parents. So we're all very connected. I won't say we all have the same opinions. You're going to find some parents who love the school admin, but I think most would sit with me and say, look, there's big room for improvement. But, yeah, so my kids were in primary at the time, and we heard about on these WhatsApp chats, all rumours in here. So I heard that the police were called, and I heard it was this, and who's in charge, and who's actually... So it was all rumours and things on this. So why are we dealing with rumours on a WhatsApp chat? Why don't we actually ask the school? So I emailed the school.
The inbox, the random no-name...
The random no-name inbox.
Awesome.
In primary school, and I got a response back fairly quickly from the primary thing, and they said, we don't know anything about this. I'm passing your message on to the secondary school.
Thanks.
And I was like, really? There's a shooting threat at the school, and the teachers haven't been informed, or the admin hasn't been informed in both buildings?
They didn't want to say anything because their crisis management wasn't approved by Brussels.
Exactly. So it then goes to the secondary school, got nothing. So 24 hours go by which time the shooting threat has long since passed, right? But by then I'm quite angry, because we had no information from the school, zero. No communications, you may have seen the police on campus, nothing. So absolutely zero. So I wrote to the school, the secondary, saying, what's going on? Hearing all these rumours, what happened? Why weren't we informed? And is there a written plan for dealing with this that you were following and that we can see what's going on and who's responsible? Silence. So this is the monolithic email box, right? I followed up with a, hey, look, I never got a response from this email. Followed up. And eventually I get a response. I swear it could have been written by ChatGPT. It was signed by the secretary of the principal or something, but there's no way the principal wrote this email. It was a ChatGPT response. It said absolutely nothing. It didn't even mention the shooting threat. It just said something like, your child's safety is our highest priority or something like that. Nothing. No mention of the police. So we still don't know what happened. All we know is the hearsay that we heard on the WhatsApp group. So we don't know if it was a real shooting threat. We know the police were there. Yeah, it's just a schmozzle, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it's the lack of accountability and mm-hmm. the lack of someone who's prepared to say, okay, this is what happened. And maybe there was a shooting threat and the child is being prosecuted or something like that, and so they can't discuss specifics or something. But still, if my children are at a school where there's a shooting threat, I don't want to have to chase the admin and then get a ChatGPT response 3 days later.
Of course.
I want to know exactly what's going on the moment it happens. And something like, okay, parents, there's been an incident at school, police have been called, your child is safe, would have been all it took. But that didn't happen. There was nothing. Zero. And I haven't really forgiven them for that.
I could see that. Yeah. Did you think about running and trying to pick up your kid?
I did. Yeah, I did. But by the time you've heard about it on the WhatsApp chat, the kids are on the bus on the way home anyway. So
wow. And they don't have phones in school. Because in America, when there's actually a real shooter, the kids all text their parents like, hey, I'm hiding in the corner. This is real.
Oh, God. It almost makes me sick thinking about that could have been happening. And the school was sitting on their hands doing nothing. You know, like, it terrifies me when you say things like that. Yeah. I'm fairly sure this was a prank, right? But if it was serious enough for the police to be called, then it's serious enough for the parents to be informed. And again, an email saying, or a WhatsApp message or something, we believe this to be a prank, but we are treating it very seriously, would have been all it took. But radio silence is the absolute worst thing you can do in a situation like that.
And you would think for a organization of bureaucracy, bureaucratic, whatever, as big as the European institutions, they would have a crisis management protocol.
Exactly. And a question, can I see the crisis management protocol, would be met with, we don't show it to the public, or yes, here it is. Either of those answers would have been acceptable, but your child's safety is our highest priority is not an answer to a specific question, can I see your crisis management protocol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the worst thing about this, Haley, is it's happened again.
Another recently. Shooting threat?
Yeah. Yeah. So this was recently, more 2 months ago, 3 months ago, just before Christmas. And in this one, again, it came out on the WhatsApp chat. I don't really want to put specifics because all I know is the rumours, right? I don't know what actually happened. But it came out on this WhatsApp chat, quite detailed this time, with actual sort of facts, like this is what happened. And
sorry, it was a threat, though. It was a prank?
Look, I don't really want to repeat the rumour because then it's just propagating something that may not be true.
Okay, I understand that. But I also want to understand to what extent school shootings in Luxembourg are a thing, because I thought it was like a zero.
Yeah, so did I. 2 and 3 years. However, there have been zero school shootings. So let's be clear about that. My understanding of the latest one was there was a child who was already suspended and he wrote a message on social media, Facebook, something threatening, don't come to school tomorrow, something like that.
Okay. Now, in America, that's not a big deal at all. Send that kid back. Oh, my God. To me, that is the number one value proposition of living in Luxembourg. It is the reason why we're here. Yeah. Because I had to make the decision when they had that kindergarten shooting in Texas, and my son was in kindergarten, and I was like, I'm done. I am done.
So I never saw the social media posting. Apparently, it was removed. The police were called and involved. That's the rumor that I heard on the WhatsApp chat. Right? Uh-huh. And again, the school took 24 hours before they came out. And this time they came out with an email. I didn't have to email them three times to get a response, which is an improvement.
Progress.
Yeah. However, the email again could have been written by ChatGPT, and it said they would be taking action against the parent that shared it on the WhatsApp group.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So instead of providing their own version or their own transparent actions, they are going after the person who may or may not be right. I just don't know.
Realistically, to me, that sounds like trying to stop the whistleblower.
It certainly does, yeah.
Because absolutely. What kind of parent makes that up?
Yeah. This was a verifiable instance, right? It's not like it's this parent or maybe even a teacher was on this WhatsApp group. It's not like they can make it up that the police are on site and that there was a social media posting. This is verifiable information.
Yeah. I'm sure someone had a screenshot of the threat on social media. Obviously, if the police are there, you can't make that up.
You can't make it up. Exactly. So we're going to go after this parent, and unofficial channel should not be listened to. But there is no official channel, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So low marks for that. Very low marks.
Scott, I really, truly appreciate your honesty. I feel like the show might make some waves, but I hope it's in a good way.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
All right, Haley.
Take care.
Okay.